I don't like Journey, just so you know. I don't know what it is. I can't stand it. Don't know why. Used to love them, and I don't like them so much. But I don't listen to them anymore anyway, so praise God. But so I'm excited to be here. I'm just really thrilled to be here. When he asked, I was so stirred in my heart and so excited to come, and I just thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the pulpit and to speak to your sheep. I know it's precious to you and it's valuable. And so just thank you all so much. And I'm so excited. I'm just very excited. And I'm excited about the word that God has. It goes with supernatural acceleration. And I just really think it is, I just think it's from God. So there you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, and I've been listening. I was blessed to receive some teachings, and I'm listening, and I love John Osteen. Just, he's just the spunkiest preacher. I just enjoy him so much. And of course, you know, his son Joel Osteen is, he's very positive as well, and he's very gentle about how he talks and come on into the kingdom. And his dad's like, well, you come on into the kingdom. And I just love his dad so much. And so I really just get a lot when I hear from him. But something I heard him say, which was something we learned in OSL, those of us who have taken OSL, and I'm going to incorporate that tonight. And I want you guys to declare, hold up your Bible if you have your Bible, and I want you to say, this is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I will have what it says I can have. I will do what it says I can do. Tonight, I will be taught the Word of God from the Holy Spirit that will change my life, moving forward in the things of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I strongly recommend that when you open the word, you declare something over yourself, that you're receiving what you're getting. Ephesians 1:18, if you pray that prayer, 1:17. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through, I think, 21. I was told by a guest minister who came, not me, they had a meeting. He didn't tell me. They were having a meeting, and I went to a meeting years ago, and he said, I read this and prayed this prayer every time before I opened the word and got in the word. And he says, my life was just transformed. And so I implemented that. And I'm telling you, my life has been transformed. Every time I get in the word, I will receive. I will receive. I'm not just going to flippantly just, la, 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 oh God, you're good. Do, 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 boop. No, I need something. I need the word in my life. I need God to talk to me. I need him to tell me something every time I get in it, because it is God speaking to me. You got to get in it. You have to stay in it. So supernatural acceleration, and my title for tonight is Steps for a Victorious Living. Steps for Victorious Living. It was a message a long time ago, and it just downloaded in my heart one night. And the Lord did tell me the next time that I'm asked to minister anywhere that I'm to minister this message. And I'm like, and Pastor Ricky's so gracious. He's like, whatever the Lord says, you know, if the Lord says something, and I'm saying, well, there's this. And he's like, go ahead. So, you know, of course, I submit to the pastor. Whatever he wanted me to minister on, I was willing to minister on anything he said. But he opened it up, and so here we are tonight. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you that it feeds us. It brings us nourishment, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that this will equip the saints. This is a word to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that they can serve in every area, Father, that they can worship you in every area, Father, that they can love you in every area, Father God, that they can sing praises to your name in every area, Father, of their lives, and in whether they're in sound or children or cleaning or stacking chairs one night or ministering to somebody at work or wherever it is. The work of the ministry is multifaceted. And it can be anything as long as it's done in Christ. And thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I would like to say, Brother Clinton had mentioned something, and, you know, Dr. Stephanie. And I want to say that Earl hit on the talents. And really, I've only done what God told me to do. So I've only been to school because God told me to go to school. And so that's why it's good. If God didn't tell me to go to school, it wouldn't be good. If God didn't tell you to go to school, I'm no greater and you're no lesser. Does that make sense? As long as you're doing what God has told you to do, that is enough. That is enough for every person. Just do whatever God's told you to do specifically. So praise God. I give God all the glory. He helped me in it because he asked me to do it. So he had to empower me to do it, and he did. And I give him glory for it. Amen? All right, so praise the Lord. Steps for victorious living. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God has already prepared good works that we should be walking in them. So if we're not walking in them, then we've missed something, yeah. Right? So we've missed them. So we need to backtrack and find out why we're not in good works, why good things aren't ministering or happening in our lives. And this is, I just love this message. I'm excited about the message, you guys. If you don't get anything, I'm getting all sorts of stuff. So praise God. So what I'm about to minister on is the will of God concerning all believers, and I truly believe it. I believe that this is something that every believer needs to do because we all have good works that God already prepared that we should be walking in them. Yeah. So we should be in them. We should be ministering to others. We should be blessed so that we can be a blessing. So if you're not blessed right now and you're concerned about that, don't worry. Get yourself blessed. Receive what you can. Get yourself blessed so then you can be a blessing to somebody else. Yes. Don't worry that you can't minister to somebody else right now. Don't worry that you don't have the $1 million to do the thing that you want to do to help other people right now. Be where you're at. Just be where you're at and grow where you're at and take it step at a time, day by day, step by step, and you will get to that spot where God will use you effectively. Okay? So just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. So these are what you would call, I believe, they're called like the general orders of a Christian. This message is not personal direction, okay? But it is basic steps that you need to take or to do in order to obtain your personal direction. It's valuable. It's valuable. I mean, this message, I think, is just going to help. It will help you. And I want to help people. So I want to help people be successful with God. What time am I done? Okay. So let's go to Luke 4. And I'm just going to change it a little bit. I'm not changing the word. So I'm looking at it from a perspective that God gave me. So Luke 4, verses 1 through 14. And I'm in the New King James until I say I'm in something else. And this is, it talks about the temptations of Jesus. It's the passage where Satan came and tempted Jesus. And there's a few things I want to touch on. Is that in the first part of it, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him," and I just want to pop right down to verse 14. And I want to say, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." So the temptations 1 through 13, he did them. They were physical temptations that he had to deal with. He had to crucify his flesh. It wasn't like, "Holy Spirit, anoint me to get through this." It wasn't like that. He had to walk this out in the natural. He couldn't just ask God to supernaturally do something. So sometimes God asks you to do something that you have to do. You have to take the steps. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to do what he's asked you to do. Mine was smoking. I know many of you know my testimony, and I was literally set free from drugs. Literally. In an instant. No withdrawals, no anything. Never had a hunger or a desire for them again. It was incredible. God heard my heart, the deepest heart cry I ever had. It was like, "God, I just want to be free." I didn't really know God then, and I was free that night. that night. Now, smoking, I loved. I enjoyed it. I liked the sound of the cellophane. I liked the smell of a new pack. I liked the sound of the way a cigarette came out of the pack. And Lord's like, if you want to go any further with me, that needs to go. And I was like, oh, all right. And then I'm expecting him to, voila, like he did the others. And he's like, no, this one is between me and it. Amen. It's me or it's it. And so I had to walk it out. I had to crucify my flesh. I had to say no. I had to take care of it. Not that it's I. Please don't misunderstand that. But there are things you have to do. You have to do some things sometimes. You have to crucify the flesh and take care of some things. So Jesus did it. He did these temptations in his flesh. He did not do them because later it says, then he left in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, was he filled with the Holy Spirit when he went into temptations? Yes, he was. Could he get directions from God within the temptation? Yes, he could. But could he get power to withstand the temptation? No, he had to do it. He had to do it. God will help, but he had to do something himself. So let's go down to verse 3. And the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, this is step 1. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Step 1 in your life is that you will not live by just food and work and fun and family and friends. You will only be able to live a full life, a victorious life, by every word of God. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 105. Says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if your path isn't lit and it's only going to be lit by the word, then you need to be in the word in order to light your path. That's right. Amen. So you can see your path. And I know, Pastor, I feel like I'm preaching his message. But I'm just reiterating everything he has been ministering that I've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And I hope I have it in this little tight little packet now. So, but it just goes right along with it. But it's a lamp unto your feet so you don't stumble. I mean, it just, you need the word to light your path. Yes. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them there. Learn about them. Keep them in your heart. Meditate on them. Speak them. Know them. Understand them. Let God give you new revelation on them. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Amen. So when you're in the Word of God, not only is your path lit up so you know where you're going or where you need to go the next day, not necessarily that down there, but daily. It's a daily thing, daily. Man shall not live by bread alone. Do you not eat bread every day? Do you not eat something for your tummy every day? Then you need to eat the Word of God every day. Same. Same for soul, same for spirit. Same for soul, same for spirit.
Amen.
Okay? Same, 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 same. Keep it the same. Keep it the same. So health to all your flesh. So when you get into the Word of God, you're obtaining healing because you're going to receive something from the Word of God that you're going to be like, oh, that thing, it's right there in the Word. I can be healed from that. I can be delivered from that. I can be set free from that. I can have what the Word says I can have. And faith begins by hearing, and you don't know what you can have unless you hear it,
yes.
Right? If you don't ever hear it, you don't know you can have it, so you have to hear it in order so you know you can have it,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
So you've got to hear the word. You've got to be in the word because it's going to light your path. It's going to heal your body. It's going to set you free from things that you don't even realize that you need to be set free from. The word of God, in Hebrews, it talks about the word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. soul and spirit. It's the word of God that's going to tell you your heart is good, your heart is wrong, your heart is good, you're thinking wrong. Get it back in line. It's the word of God that's going to convict your heart and go, oh, that wasn't good. Or, hey, I got it right. You know, either or, either or. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And again, it's the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God shall we live. That's how we will have life, a victorious life. Paul speaking to Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. That word salvation is like, it encompasses every part of salvation. That is your wisdom. That is your provision. That is your healing. That is everything that you could possibly need in life. It's the whole package. Soteria, salvation, it's all of it. It's all of it. So the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the whole package of salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So the word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's health to our flesh. It also speaks in the word that's marrow to our bones. It is wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Go ahead. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction if we need it, or instruction in righteousness. Hello, we need the word of God in our life every day, every day. So God, Jesus gives us these answers in his temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, right? Joshua 1:8, of course, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So we've got to be in the Word, got to be in the Word. Amen? Amen. James 1:20. And in 122, I might pull up the voice. So this is the one, we'll do TPT. James 1:20 says that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And the TPT says, for human anger is never legitimate. That doesn't, to promote God's righteous purpose. Go ahead. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure in all forms of wickedness. Instead, all right. Try 22. Maybe it's 22. I might have messed up in the... Okay, thank you. Okay. So don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. For this is the essence of self-deception. If you don't respond to the word, if you don't do what you're learning, what you're knowing, what's being taught, what you're understanding, if you don't start applying it and doing it, you are deceiving yourself to thinking that you have faith. You don't. We do what we believe. Yeah. We really do. We will do, like, if we believe, we know that going to the gym is going to help us lose weight or gain muscle or whatever. And if we don't go to the gym, are we going to lose weight or gain muscle? No, it's the same concept. So if you don't start applying and doing the word to your life, and just start, if something's too big, it's okay. Take the piece you can. Start there. Again, start where you're at. Start exactly. Don't try to be down here when you're here. You have to be where you're at. God will meet every person exactly where they're at. It doesn't matter if they're like born again 2 days ago or they've been to school. It doesn't matter. You know, you just have to start where you're at, and God will meet you exactly where you're at, and he'll build you from there. But you have to stay in. You have to stay in the word. You got to stay there. You got to start doing it. Amen? All right. I'm not going to read it. Okay. I did put down the voice, but I'm not going to read it because I don't have anything to do it. So Step number two. So let's go on to read. Then the devil, from verse 5, we'll go down to verse 8. Then the devil, taking Jesus up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written," step number two, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Amen. Step number two. Step number one is we're staying in the Word, right? Mm-hmm. Doing the Word, becoming a doer of the Word. Step number two is that you will worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Psalms 100. And I want to read the whole thing in New King James, and then in the TPT, please. And I really enjoyed it when I read this. So we want to worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Step number two. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. 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 Was that it? Okay, thank you. I thought. And can we see the TPT now, please? Lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere. Thank you, God. We love you. We love you. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you. And he is famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. Praise God. Praise God. Serve God. And you serve God by serving one another. Amen. You serve God by serving one another. Yes. Because he says in the scriptures, which I didn't have it, but I didn't write it down. But he says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Amen. So whoever we serve, if we do it with a heart of God towards that person, we are serving God. We're serving God. Whether it's in the children, and in, like I said, serving God is multifaceted. You can vacuum. You can help the pastor. You can do sound. You can clean. You can be with the babies or the children or clean the outside or sit and keep guard and security. There, you can do parking. You can pray for other people. It's multifaceted. It's just whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do. Look, get into the Word. And get the light on your shoes and get your path lit up so you know what God wants you to do. Amen. So you can serve him.
Yes.
So you can serve him. It's amazing. A victorious life is being in the Word and worshiping and only serving God. Serve God alone. Give him first place in your life. My job doesn't have first place. My children don't have first place. My husband doesn't have first place. God has first place.
Amen.
He has first place in my life. I believe it was John Osteen. Again, I think he had mentioned to, when you get up in the morning, just pray for an hour in the Spirit. So I've been implementing that. And then an hour before you go to bed. I have not been faithful every day. not stellar. But it's something that's on my mind that I want to really start doing, because I really want to show God that He's got that position. Yes. He's got that position in my life. And that's what it's, like I said, it's a general orders. It's our general orders. Every Christian should be applying these steps to their lives. In the Word every day, same as soul, same as spirit. Same as soul, same as spirit. You watch an hour of TV, do something an hour in the Spirit. It should be more spirit. You know, but I know we all have work and things like that, but you can pray in the Spirit at work. I hop in the car and I just start praying in the Spirit. Every time I drive a lot for my work. So there are little things that you can do that will add up to so much. And it's so funny how you won't think that they're very much. It's like, oh, you know, it's a 2-minute drive. Well, you do 2 minutes 20 times, you know, you got like 40 minutes right there. There's almost an hour, you know? So it's good. Just every moment that you have, and the Holy Spirit prompts you, be obedient. Yes. Obedient, and just serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I'll be so happy to pray, God. I'll be so happy to pray. I'll be so happy to praise you. So happy to praise you. Enter His courts with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So be sure God has first place in your life, including your self-life. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the interesting thing about truth is it's that which has been unconcealed. So if you have a revelation of the Word and you're not walking in it, you're not worshiping it. Worshiping God in truth. But if you have a revelation of a word, something that's been unconcealed, and you're applying it and doing it to your life, it's considered worship. Because now you're doing something that is truth.
Yes.
And it's Jesus, and you're doing the Word, and now it's presented as worship.
Amen.
So we want to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
We want to come together and be in unity as a body, so the Spirit can come in a greater measure than it does individually. It comes collectively in a greater measure. And so we want to do that and worship the Lord in our spiritual language with a heart of being born again. If you're not born again, you aren't going to be able to worship God in spirit, so you have to be born again as well to worship God in spirit. And then to understand the Word and to get into the Word is just another form of worship. So we want to stay in the Word. The Word, we always go back to the Word. So it's foundational. It is. Amen. Ephesians 5:20-21 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the honor, it says fear, but I'm going to say in the honor of God, in the reverence of God, knowing that when you're serving that person in front of you, it's God. So you really want to treat that person well and with respect and with kindness and with honor, you know? And that's just how you do it. You know, God treated everybody. Jesus treated everybody with respect. He really did. He respected people. He did. Even in sin, He respected them for their, I don't know, their humanity. Would that be a good word for that? You know, he valued people. He valued people. He just valued the heart of a person. And so it was reflected in His actions towards them.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what we want to do too. We want to value people because God values them.
Yes.
You know, so praise God. So step number one is get in the Word.
Get in the Word.
Stay in the Word. Do the Word.
Yes.
Apply the Word. Step number two for victorious life is worship and serve Him only.
Yes.
Serve Him only in everything you can, in every area that you can. And now step number three for victorious life and supernatural acceleration. Amen. I'm telling you guys, do this stuff every day. You're going to be like, wow. You know, I'm not kidding. You'll be like, wow, it will surprise you. So let's see. Verse 9. Then Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle. Sorry, Luke 4, verse 9. I'm sorry. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said," here's step number 3, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So we do not tempt the Lord our God. We must be spirit-led and not flesh-led. We cannot go off doing our own thing, thinking God will have to bless it if we confess it. Come on. Just because we confess it doesn't mean God's going to bless it. It doesn't. It doesn't mean it. We can get that twisted. We want to confess the word, his promises, yes. God is faithful. We read that. He's faithful to his promises. We all know God is faithful to his promises. You can confess his promises, and his promises will certainly endure and manifest in your life. Absolutely. But you cannot go off willy-nilly and think, well, I'm protected. I plead the blood, so I'm just going to go do that because I'm protected. You can't. You put yourself in harm's way. You put yourself in harm's way. And one of the things, we had people that were... I'm in hospice, and Earl's in hospice, and we had patients coming on our services that had COVID. And they were telling me, I'm a volunteer coordinator, and so they were telling me that I had to go, and I had to send my volunteers. And I'm like, no, I don't have to send my volunteers if they don't want to go. That's silly to infect somebody else. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, and so it made me think about people who are forcing people to do stuff. And it's like, well, if you're forcing somebody to do it and God hasn't told them to do it, then there's no protection in that. So I had to really sit back and really think about some things, that choices I wanted to make. And I really wanted all of my choices to be spirit-led.
Amen.
They just had to be spirit-led, because then I knew there was divine protection. I went to St. Lucia, and I was there, and the pastors returned back home, and everybody was freaking out. But I knew I was going. God had already told me one day, I opened the car door, and the Lord said, they're going to ask you to go to St. Lucia. And I thought, okay. I got in the car and I told my husband right away. And it was a while later that they asked me. And so I knew I was going. I knew God called me to go do that. He lit my feet, lights my path. I'm seeking God. I'm pursuing. I'm worshiping. I'm wanting to know the path in my life. And he says, this is your next thing. Okay, this is what I'm doing. So I knew I was going. I went with confidence. I knew. And they had to leave, and I was there. And everybody on the island was calling me, going, you need to come stay with us. You need, this is not good. And they're like, and I'm like, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. I'm fine by myself. I have no problem. And then somebody else would call me. You need to do this. You need to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, so then I'm like, okay, well, let me pray. Because, you know, maybe that's not wisdom. I'm an out-of-towner. So, okay, I'll seek the Lord, right? And the Lord's like, nope, I sent you. You're good. And I'm like, okay. So I said, nope, I'm good. I went down again, and there was a hurricane. There was a hurricane. And the pastor flew to another island, and I was on another island at that time and staying in a house, and the hurricane's coming. Everybody's calling me again. You need to, you need to, you need to, you need to. And I'm like, God, what do I need to do? You need to light my path. You need to tell me what I need to do, because that's where the divine protection is. And again, it was stay where I was at. So I did. And even I went to church. And I'm like, Lord, should I go to, it was like 2 days later, I think, or the day later. And I'm like, should I go to church? You know, I want to go to church, but I, you know, where's the protection? Is there protection in that if I go? Because the whole city, well, the whole island shut down. And Lord's like, yeah, go. You know, and I'm like, all right, I'm going. Because I follow these steps for my victorious living. I get in the Word every day. I seek God's counsel every day. I seek a Word every day for my life. Amen. Every day. I want Him to put a lamp on my feet, and I want him to light my path. I want to sing praises to him every day and in everything that I'm doing, right? So, and that's what I want to do, and I want to serve people, and I want to serve them well. I want to serve how he would serve them, and I think that's the heart of everybody. I don't think that's just my heart. I actually think that's the heart of every person sitting in here, you know? So, so it helps you to do those things when you get in the Word and you do what God tells you to do. So there was divine protection. I went to service, and Pastor Moses was surprised I showed up, and then somebody else yelled at me for going, and I'm like, I'm good. God, I'm good, you know? It's good. God said, I'm okay. But if God said no, and I'm like, well, I plead the blood, I'm going to church tonight, you know? No, I would have been out on my own. I would have been out on my own. There would have been no protection in that. And all the lights were out, everything was shut down, and even Pastor Moses had an interesting service. But it was good, but there's divine protection in that. So you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So I didn't tempt him. I didn't tempt God by saying, well, I'm going anyway. I'm a Christian, I'm going to church, right? God had to tell me I could go. He had to tell me. And so that way there was divine protection. I'm not tempting the Lord thy God. I've done that before. I have tempted the Lord thy God when somebody asked me to pray and I was talking about healing and I was real young. And I just wanted everybody healed. You know, everybody's got to get healed. I can lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. You know, and I was all excited about it. And then I was telling somebody about it. She's like, well, I got this thing, you know. And I'm like, oh, I was just kind of sharing about it. You know, I wasn't ready for that. And I thought, well, that's okay. You know, I'll just do it anyway. But instead of asking the Lord, Lord, do you want me to pray for her right now? Is that what you want me to do right now? I went ahead and did it. You know, and Jesus, he was, most of the people who came to healing for Jesus, they came to him with their faith. Like 95%, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. He went down to the pool of Bethesda. He was spirit-led, healed one person when there were multiples of sick folk there, but he healed one person there because the Spirit told him to go after that man, and that's what he did. One time that I can think of, he functioned out of his prophet's office when he was walking into a city and there was a boy being carried out in a coffin, and his mother was crying, and he raised the boy back to life for his mother's sake. And that's the office of his prophet. He was able to do those things. That's what prophets can do. They can speak things, and they come like that. So other than that, it's spirit-led. Unless there is an unction or a word from God that says, yes, do that now, then you need to sit back and say, is this what we're doing, or are we going to teach first? Because he went around teaching, preaching, and healing all. Teaching, preaching, and healing all. Teaching, preaching, and healing all. So sometimes the person needs a little bit of teaching before they're going to be able to receive something. Yes. So again, be spirit-led. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. Now you're ruining somebody else's faith because you don't have enough faith to get them healed. And, you know, and then they didn't come to you with faith. And they don't have enough teaching to even understand what you're trying to do. And it wasn't a word from God that says, do it. You know, it wasn't that gift of faith that says, do it now. And they're going to stand up and walk. It wasn't that. So you have to be led by the Spirit of God. Do not tempt the Lord thy God because you're going to falter somebody else's faith. Be spirit-led when you lay hands on the sick. They will recover. Be spirit-led about it. Amen. Know where they're at. Do they need a teaching first? Are they ready to handle it? Are they going to, you know, receive it? Things of that nature. So be spirit-led. So we do not have to prove God to anybody. We don't. Just live God in front of people, and that will prove it to them. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. John 16:13, I'm just about closing. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You have to be Spirit-led. Don't tempt God. Be Spirit-led about things. Ask him, should I buy this? Should I get that? Should I go here? Should I go there? Everything, if God is first in your life, then everything should be run through God. Everything we do should be run through God. Should we buy this house? Should we do it? Now, brushing your teeth, just brush your teeth. That's hygiene. You don't have to be spirit-led. So, but when it comes to things, just start. And really, somebody told me something so simple about learning to be spirit-led. And I thought, okay, I think I'm going to try this. You know, young Christian, you're going to try something. And I wanted to be spirit-led desperately, And they said, when you walk around and all of a sudden you're like, you catch something out of the corner of your eye and the Holy Spirit says, go pick that up. I picked up so much trash around this place because I just wanted to be spirit-led. And that led to him telling me other things like they need water over here, or they're going to need a Kleenex over here, or they need this in the kids' room. And so I would get up and just start knowing things that needed to happen because I was listening to the Spirit of God, and I became a servant of God by doing so. So you want to be spirit-led. So start by, if he says clean your closet, clean the closet. Seriously, mine's the car. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. He's been telling me to clean my car, and I haven't. So, okay, I repent. So I need to clean my car. So I'm going to do it. But when he tells you to do something, we need to do it. We need to do it. Amen? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my car. Honey, will you clean my car for me? Oh, you didn't tell me? Amen, baby. That was good. All right, so he'll lead you into all truth, John 16:13. He'll lead you all truth. He'll tell you everything you need to know about absolutely everything. But if you don't get in the Word and get the light on your feet and get the lamp on your feet and the light on your path, this is his main way he's going to talk to you right here.
Amen.
You got to get in there every day. Get your daily bread every day, your daily Word every day. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 4:6, this is the last one. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with the thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You got to let your request be made known, and he'll talk to you. He'll tell you what to do. He's not going to leave you out there just to flounder around. But if you don't start with the proper general orders of getting into the Word, worshiping and loving God and serving people, then he can't lead you and you'll end up tempting him. Well, God's supposed to be blessing me and I did this and I thought God blessed people. I thought God was for me, right? But you didn't ask. You just went out and you're expecting it. So don't tempt the Lord thy God, because nothing's going to happen. So praise the Lord. But that's all I have for you guys. So three steps. Tell me what they were. One, stay in the Word. Two, worship and serve him only. Three, do not tempt him. Look for direction always and every day. Every day what you should be doing. Amen. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Lord. And Pastor, I turn it over to you. Oh, okay, all right. Well, Father God, we love you, we honor you, we thank you for this word. I thank you that it goes into the hearing of the ears and down into the hearts, and it solidifies within them. Holy Spirit, continue to minister this message throughout the weeks and months until these things become something that they just desire to do every day. It's like it's a hunger and a thirst, Father. And we thank you for that. We give you all praise and all glory. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.